Ted Griggs is with us on Sports Byline, the Emmy Award-winning producer. And again, I want to urge you to check out this Comcast Sportsnet documentary. It's a wonderful, wonderful documentary. You'll learn a lot about baseball and also the trials that Glenn Burke had. It's called Out, the Glenn Burke Story. Let's talk a little bit more about how he kind of covered up his sexual identity because he was in conflict almost all the time. And you alluded to it a little bit earlier. You know, he first kind of got in touch with that on the East Coast. But when he would go into town with his team, pick up the story from there.
Well, in the documentary, they talk a lot about how the players were all supposed to wear suits and then they would get on a bus. Glenn would walk out to the far end of the airport. And he would have some friends come to pick him up. And these were, again, remember, this is the late 70s. You know, there were certainly wild fashions at that time. And I'm sure that some of his gay friends were on the edge of those wild fashions. And they would pick up Glenn at the edge of the airport and take him off. He did not hang out with the team, party with the team on the road, go, and he would always go off to his own little place. And They talk a lot about how Glenn would just disappear, and he was trying to find his place. You know, we all know baseball players when we're on the road, especially the single ones, are looking for girls, a place to have a good time. Well, for Glenn, there was another place where he needed to be to have a good time, and he found a way to do that, and it certainly drew the attention of his teammates.
Let's talk also about one of the comments in the documentary. Abdul-Jaleel Al-Hakim, who was a childhood friend and a sports agent. I love this. He was talking about Burke's homosexuality and the homophobia that existed in Major League Baseball. And his quote was, "It was uncompromising on both ends. Glenn was comfortable with who he was. Baseball was not comfortable with who he was." And the Dodgers in particular, because when they came west, they were a very conservative organization. When do you think that they found out about this?
Well, I think there were a lot of rumors, obviously, and there are rumors about all sorts of athletes. We've heard rumors through the years, but these rumors started to become more than just rumors. Glenn was offered, and it's in the documentary, that they brought him in the offseason, and they offered him some money.
$75,000
to get married, and he was offended by it. The first thing, joker that he is, he said, "You mean to a woman?" I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall with Al Campanis when that happened. And then secondly, he was offended that they had not made the same offer to Pedro Guerrero, who had recently been married. And they said, "Well, how come you didn't pay for Pedro Guerrero's wedding?" So he knew what was going on, and he knew that they knew. And I think for the Dodgers, that was the beginning of the end.
If the players didn't mind, why do you think management did so much? I don't know that the players didn't mind, but I really believe that they probably didn't mind as much as maybe management thought they did.
Yeah, you know, baseball, obviously, there's marketing, there's ticket sales. Glenn was reported to have had a relationship with Tommy Lasorda's son, and I'm sure that didn't go over well with Tommy. Tommy was trying to reconcile his feelings about his son's sexuality. In fact, to this day, he still denies that his son was gay. You know, I'm certainly not here to, you know, to hurt Tommy anymore. I mean, he's a father and he lost his son, and that's very sad. But I think that played into it, sure.
Yeah. When he got traded to the Oakland A's, what was his reaction to that?
Well, he publicly said he was happy. He said he was happy because he was going to get to play. If you remember the Dodgers outfit at that time, you know, they had Rick Monday, they had Dusty. Glenn would sometimes play center. Reggie Smith was in left. There was no designated hitter. So there wasn't a lot of playing time for him. He said he ripped Lasorda in the newspaper and said he was happy to go to the A's. Now, the A's in 1977 were nowhere near what we think of the A's even now. I remember going to those games in 1977. You could, at the end of the game, when they thanked the fans for attendance, they could thank them all individually because there
you
were
could count them.
Yeah, you could say, "I'd like to thank Ron Barr for coming. He's in section 101, and Ted Griggs, he's in section 102. There weren't very many people there. And Charlie Finley had a fire sale. He had won his world championships. And he sold off every player that he could sell off for anything because he didn't agree with free agency and wasn't going to be a part of that. And now you have I mean, think about coming from the Los Angeles Dodgers, who were, if not the best team in baseball, the second best team. They were playing the Yankees almost every year in the World Series. And now you go to the Oakland A's, who were derisively called at that time the Triple A's. That's a big culture shock. And then he's getting home, and he's not happy with his baseball situation. And right across the bay is the Castro District, where he has freedom, and he's a celebrity, and he's bigger than he's a rock star over there. So I think Glenn had some temptations across the bay.
He leaves the Oakland A's. He retires, per se, but he comes back then after Billy Martin is named the manager of the team. What was his reason for coming back? I was very surprised he did that.
Well, he left because he was disgusted with the team. He had been with the Dodgers, professional, good, everybody looking out for each other. He was disgusted with the A's, and he decided really that he was going to be a basketball player. And I think he could have been a basketball player. He hurt his knee. The A's knew how good he was, and the A's, after he had left, invited him back, and he wanted to come back because he thought, hey, this guy Billy Martin, he's a winner. He knows how to turn this team around. It's interesting with Glenn, the word prejudice means literally prejudging. He was prejudged by a lot of people, but he did not prejudge anybody. Billy Martin came in, and he said, Billy Martin's going to be a winner. He's going to make this team good. I can't wait to play for Billy Martin. He was excited about it. Of course, Billy found out that Glenn was gay and wasn't having any of it. In fact, brought the whole team together and said, this is Glenn Burke, and he's an F word. And that was the end of that.
Yeah, the quote was, he was introducing all the players, and he got to Glenn, and he said, oh, by the way, this is Glenn Burke, and he's a faggot. I mean,
right.
That's from Claudel Washington, by the way.
Right. And Claudel knew Glenn and knew of the story. And we have a lot of players who back up that story. And if you knew Billy Martin, I mean, I got to meet Billy Martin through the media. Billy was a great man in a lot of ways, but he had his faults. And I don't think being socially accepting of homosexuals was going to be one of his attributes.
You know, you and I both in the Bay Area when Billy was the manager of that team, and you know, as I saw it today and I thought back, I said, you know, nobody ever introduced Billy Martin as, hi, this is Billy Martin, he's a drunk.
Yes.
And I thought it was very, very unfair on that. He ultimately leaves baseball and then pick up the story from there.
Well, he leaves baseball. He goes over to the Castro District, and Glenn's an athlete. I mean, he's probably the most natural athlete that anybody has ever met. And he goes over to San Francisco and starts playing AAU basketball, gets indoctrinated into the gay games, sets some records there, plays in the gay softball leagues, which were very strong in those days, and is a legend in the Bay. In fact, he is in the San Francisco Gay Softball League Hall of Fame. And it's funny, I mean, people say, yeah, of course, he's a Major League Baseball player. He's going to be a great baseball player. There's just a bunch of gay guys playing. Well, the gay softball at that time was pretty good softball. But Glenn dominated. I mean, he's a Major League Baseball player. And he became a celebrity. And the sad part is that if you remember the early 80s, there was a lot of drugs, a lot of indiscriminate, unprotected sex. People did not know about AIDS yet. Of course, we don't know how Glenn contracted AIDS. Could have been unprotected sex. Could have been some of the drugs he was doing. Nobody really knows. But he fell on some really hard times. And it wasn't all sex-related, the drugs were a big part of him falling apart.
It was referred to as the gay cancer at that time. You know, one of the things I picked up on in this documentary was there was a real hero in this, and that was his sister. Would you talk a little bit about her?
Yeah, actually, there were two real heroes. I think the A's in baseball actually were heroes as well. But his sister, Lutha, you know, she's referred to as a saint by a number of people in the documentary. She took Glenn in. When he was down and out, the A's found out about it, and Sandy Alderson and Pam Pitts, who works in the front office, contacted some alumni association in baseball. It's actually set up by Joe Garagiola. And they arranged for Glenn to have food whenever he needed it. And they arranged for him to have a cell phone, actually, so that he can make some calls if he needed help. And they didn't have to do that. And I think it's ironic, but it also says a lot about the A's organization that was started by Wally Haas, that they looked out for their own. And they really were there for Glenn in his final days. And, of course, his sister took him in, and he ultimately passed away in her home in San Leandro.
Yeah, that was in 1995 that he passed away at the age of 42. He really started to go downhill after he was in a car accident. He was walking and got hit by a car, and they tried to put a rod in. I thought this was very telling. They put a rod in his leg because it was broken in three different places, and he was supposed to go back and get it replaced, and his sister found out he never went back.
Never went back. It was literally his leg was rotting from the inside out, that either says something about where Glenn's mind was at the time. It could have something to do with the drugs. But, you know, he was, I think he was truly living day to day at the time.
I mentioned about Billy Bean playing with the Dodgers. And he told me when he was on with me on the show how difficult it was because his lover died and he couldn't even go to the funeral because he was not out of the closet at that time. But here's his quote on dealing with discrimination. He says, "The closet hurts people forever. Everyone's career ends, but to do it because you don't feel you belong there when you've proven that you do is damaging, and it affects everything." And I'm sure that's why Glenn swam in the waters of drugs and alcohol to take away his frustration. How much has changed, do you think, since he went through all of this?
I think that's the big question, and that's a question that we hope to answer. I mean, this was 33 years ago that Glenn was basically run out of baseball. In 33 years, how many baseball players have been gay and didn't feel that it was safe to be themselves? What's our environment like now? You know, I'd like to think that players will respect somebody who can play. Would they be accepted? What are the various cultural differences? We have, you know, young men from the South, young men from Latin America. There's African American players who may be a little bit more religious than others. How do those things work into a team environment, and would it be safe for an athlete to come out now? What kind of athlete would it have to be? Could you be, if Glenn Burke was a 250 lifetime hitter? He certainly did not have the baseball skills that Jackie Robinson did. On the other hand, who knows how good of a player Glenn Burke could have become had he been free to be himself and didn't have that burden or dark cloud over his shoulders. And he only played 2 or 3 years. A lot of guys started out as 250 hitters and actually got pretty good after a while. I mean, and there were guys that played 10 years and hit 250 and were defensive specialists.
I like to think that we're more educated than we were back when Glenn Burke went through this. And I really think it's going to take maybe a star player who does come out, because in the final analysis, when it comes to professional sports, Ted, as you know, it's production. It's whether you do what you're supposed to do. And I was also impressed with Davey Lopes and Dusty Baker, because they did know, and it didn't matter to them. It really didn't.
Right, and that, to me, was the most refreshing thing. We're talking about 1970s. It was a different time in our country. There were a lot of things going on. There weren't very many sins in baseball in the 70s. I mean, there were amphetamines, there was cocaine, there were a couple of players for the New York Yankees that actually traded families in the 70s, two pitchers. You know, there weren't very many rules back then, but there was one rule you couldn't break. You couldn't be gay.
We got about 40 seconds left, but what are you most proud of with this documentary?
I'm proud that it's a great story, number one, and I'm proud that it raises the questions that we're talking about. And that's all that I really hope for, is that people talk about these issues and that they see that here was a young man who, when he wasn't prejudged, was accepted. When his own teammates loved him and knew him as he was, and then they found out he was gay and they said, you know what? We still love him. We want him on our team. Why'd you trade him? That, to me, says a lot. And I hope that that's the lesson that people take from the documentary.
Well, congratulations. I've watched it. It is outstanding. I want to recommend it to everybody across the country and around the world. It's called Out, the Glenn Burke Story. And Ted Griggs, who is the executive producer of it. By the way, the producer on this is also Doug Harris. He deserves a lot of credit as well. So check that out from Comcast Sportsnet. I'm Ron Barr. We continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on America's sports talk show, Sports Byline.